I just want to look at a portion of one verse this evening. I can understand very well, I think, verse 22 of this chapter. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I think I can understand that. The believer could not delight in anything that was contrary to the law. Brother Larry just read to us the overall view of the book of Deuteronomy is love the Lord thy God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all the law and the prophets. That's what the law teaches us. And I can understand how a man who loves the Lord would delight in the law of the Lord. But it's in verse 25 that I have some difficulty with. And I want to share that with you this evening. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I serve the law of God. I've always maintained two things in my preaching concerning the law and the believer. And one is, a believer is not justified by the moral law. And neither is the moral law the believer's rule of life. I've always maintained that. And secondly, a believer's rule of life is not contrary to the law of God. It cannot be. It's impossible for a man who is born of God to live contrary to that which is holy, that which is just, that which is good. If to love God with all the heart and to love one's neighbor as himself is the law, then how could a believer walk contrary to the law? But this is what causes me some difficulty as I look at this verse 25, that the Apostle Paul seems to be teaching here in this epistle. Not only what we read in the first seven chapters, but what we read after this seventh chapter, that the believer is not under the law in any sense, that he's delivered from the law, that he's dead to that law. Now, some clear up the difficulty in this way. They say here, verse 25, when the apostle says, I serve the law of God, that he's not talking there about the moral law at all, but he's talking about the gospel. Now, I know as well as anybody that when you see the words, the law, it's not always talking about the moral law. If you always look at the words, the law, and think it's talking about the moral law, then you're going to be very confused. Very confused. Sometimes we see the law and it's not the moral law at all, but it's the gospel. Solomon tells us about the law of the wise. And he says it's a fountain of life. That's not the law, is it? The law of the wise is a fountain of life that he may escape the snares of death. The Lord Jesus said it like this. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Out of his belly, he said, shall flow rivers of living water. Yeah. So Solomon's, the law of the wise that's a fountain of life, is Christ's rivers of living water. That's the gospel. Stand fast in the liberty, Paul tells us, wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The Lord Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And James says it like this. He says, that's the perfect law of liberty. Paul's standing fast in Christ, who has made you free, is James's perfect law of liberty. But it's a law, he said. But it's not that law that brings you into bondage. but it's the perfect law of liberty. I make a distinction between the law that gendereth to bondage and the law of perfect liberty, don't you? They're two different laws, aren't they? But it says the law. Here in Romans chapter 8, here in verse 2, look at this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's another law, but it's the law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's quite different from the law of the ministration of death, isn't it? Here's the law that gives life. And that's different from that law that ministers death. The law of the Spirit of life, he says here, has set me free from sin and death. It's justified me. That's quite different from that law that's administration of condemnation. So when we see the law, what's he talking about? Is he talking about that moral law, or is he really talking about the gospel? Some places it's the gospel. But having said all of that, here in chapter 7 and verse 25, I think if we'll be perfectly honest about this, if we keep it in its context, he's speaking of the moral law. That's what he's been talking about in these verses prior to this. And I think that when we look at this evening, how we'd have to read it is this: with a mind, I myself serve the moral law of God. Well, on the surface, what's the apostle saying there? On the surface, at least, he seems to be saying that there is a sense in which a believer is under the moral law. Because if he isn't, how can he serve it? And it seems to contradict what I said, that I've been preaching all these years that the believer is not under the law in any sense. You say, Bruce, you're going to preach unto us a verse of Scripture that you don't even understand yourself? I might try it. I need some help. I tell you, this matter thoroughly separating law and grace is a difficult task, isn't it? And about the time a man gets so proud that he thinks he's wise enough to do it is when he's going to err. And brethren, I'll be honest with you and sisters, I don't always have the understanding to do it. But I want to confront you this evening with this, because I've been confronted with this myself. And I want to be honest with these scriptures and see how a believer can serve the moral law. And the reason this caused me some difficulty, I want to show you some statements, not very many. Paul made several statements concerning the law. Look back over here with me in chapter 3. Paul said, with a mind, I myself serve the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments. That's what he's talking about. And the reason that causes me some difficulty is some of these statements he's made concerning the law. And look what he says in verse 19 of chapter 3. Look at this. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Look at this. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. When a man looks to the law to really understand its nature, what does he see? I'll tell you what he'll see. He'll see in himself sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. You say, but Bruce, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But that don't change the nature of the law, does it? Wherever law looks upon you, and wherever you look upon the law, I tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see sin in yourself. That's what the law does. When we look at the law, the minute you and I look at the law, it's going to have three effects upon us. It's going to have one of these three effects upon us. Number one, it's going to make us self-righteous. You look at that law and you think you're keeping it, what you're going to do is get judgmental, You're going to look down your nose at everybody else. You're going to be criticizing everybody else. Or, number two, you're going to despair. You're going to look at that law and all you're going to see is darkness and death and guilt. And He'll drive you to despair. When the Lord gave that law on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel said, "Don't let Him speak with us. We're going to die. We're going to die." That's what we see when we look to the law in it. The knowledge of our sin. So, see why I'm just a little bit confused with Paul saying, "With my mind I serve this law." How can you do that without just being your guilt proved over and over and over again? Look here in another place with me. Look here in the 4th chapter. Look at this passage. In the 4th chapter, look here in verse 15. These are just a few of them. I could show you several in here that you see why sometimes I get run into some difficulty with this. Well, let me just show you two or three more of them here. Look in verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15. Look at this. "Because the law worketh wrath. Where no law is, there's no transgression. But where the law is," what does it do? "It works wrath." Where does it work wrath at? In us. In us. It's like taking a spoon, a huge spoon, and you've got this big kettle with all of these bitter dregs in the bottom of it. And you take that spoon and you begin to stir around in that kettle, and all those bitter dregs just begin to come up. That's what the law does in us. It stirs up sin in us. It'll take just a little thought of foolishness. And by the time it's finished stirring around with that thought of foolishness, it'll be a horrible blasphemy. It magnifies sin. Paul said the law is the strength of sin. Man called me the other day and was talking about being under the law. Being under the law. A believer's under the law. And you, I told this guy, I said, "You know, I get so mad just thinking about this." And I do. When I look to the law, it stirs this anger in me, this ill will, this hatred. I told him, I said, "When my wife gets home, I'm going to beat her. I'm going to cuss my neighbor out. If the law comes at me, they're going to have to fight to get me." That's the way I get to feeling. Do you get that way when you look to the law? It works wrath. And I tell you, the only remedy I've ever found is when I look back to Jesus in His blood, in His agony, suffering in my place. Then my heart's tendered. Yeah. Then I become loving and caring and kind. Then I become a follower of God as a dear child when I remember that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven all my sins. See what Paul's saying? How can you have both of these together? I serve the law of God with my mind, and yet at the same time, the law works wrath. Look here at another place. Look in chapter 6. And look here in verse 14. It's verses like these that lead me to say that the law is not the believer's rule of life, because in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is talking about the believer's walk. How you and I should live in this world. Look what he says in verse 12. "Let not sin reign in your mortal body, in your flesh, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." He's talking about our walk, ain't he? Live to God. Keep your body under check. Worship Him. Serve Him with your soul and your body. Look in verse 14. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." You see why I'm having some difficulty with Paul's statement in verse 25 of chapter 7. Look here in another passage. Look here at chapter 7. Look here just beginning in verse 1. Look at this. Know ye not, brethren? For I'm speaking to those who know the law. You know the nature of the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath not husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And here he applies it. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The dead body of Christ. He died under the curse of that law. He died unto sin once, and you died in him. You died with him in the mind and purpose of God. And now you're freed from that law. You're dead to that law. What does it mean to be dead? If when a person dies, they don't participate in this life anymore, do they? What does it mean to be dead to the law? It means you don't participate in it anymore. You have nothing to do with it. See my dilemma? See my dilemma? I serve the law of God after that. There's got to be some kind of secret there, ain't there? One more place. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And look at this. I looked up this word end, E-N-D. And it means a point aimed at as a limit. The conclusion, the termination. To end means we terminate something. It's the conclusion of it. It's its limit. You set this limit and you reach that limit and that's it. Well, look here what it says in verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Christ is the end of the law. How then can Paul say this? I serve the law of God in my mind. And you know, our version really don't bring this out as strong as it does in some of the commentators say what it literally means. I am a slave to the law of God. Let me give you about four things right quickly, and let you think on these things and see what you think. How can it be said, and in what sense does a believer serve the law of God? And I take this to be the moral law. Number one, this. We serve the law of God, and we only serve the law of God when we understand that we are indeed delivered from its curse, from its tyranny, from its wrath, from its obligations. As long as a man looks at the law and he sees its cursing and he sees and believes he's obligated to keep it, he cannot serve it. You know what he'll do? He'll hate it. There's never been, never has been, and never will be a lost man who loves the law of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. The law curses him and he hates the law. And he'll never love the law, and there's no sense in which it can be said he serves the law until he comes to see that in the Lord Jesus Christ he's been free from it. He's been delivered from it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. All right then, I love it. I love it. I'm free from it. Number two is this. By knowing, by believing that we're saved, that we're justified, that we're made righteous by an altogether different means.
than this law.
Now, until a man comes to understand that, until you're not justified by your obedience to this law, you'll never love it. We studied this passage back there tonight in the study. Look back here in chapter 3 again. We read this chapter. Brother Clarence did. Look here what I'm saying. Look here what he said in verse 20 again. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, that is the way God makes sinners righteous, without the law, ain't that a precious word? The way God makes sinners righteous, without our obedience to the law, without us being obligated to fulfill the law ourselves. You mean there's a righteousness that I have that I don't have to fulfill the law to get? That's wonderful news, that. Look here who it's to. It's witnessed by the law, by the books of Moses, and by the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which comes to us by faith in or of Jesus Christ. He worked it out himself. He obeyed the law himself. Thy law is within my heart. Ain't that what he said? He honored it. He magnified it. He glorified it. And in his death, he met its penalty. And now, Paul says here, this righteousness of Jesus Christ, look here who it's to. It's unto all. It's unto all. That means no matter how far a man is from God, I mean, he could be a straddle of the gates of hell themselves. But believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, this righteousness reaches all the way unto him. That's what he's saying. That's some more righteousness, ain't it? And you don't do a thing to get it. You don't have to fulfill the law of God to get it. It's without your obligations to the law. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, with a heart, men believe unto righteousness. Ain't that wonderful? I tell you, I can look at the law now. I can look at the law now and see it fulfilled in the hands of my mediator. And I can love it. It's in his heart. He preserved it. He kept it. I love it now. I love it. And not only is it unto all, but look at this. Upon all them that believe. Vile, naked, wretched sinner. They've been clothed with the garments of salvation. They have a robe of righteousness freely given to them. It's Jesus Christ himself. And until a man comes to see this, that I have a righteousness that I didn't fulfill the law to get myself. Another fulfilled it on my behalf. Now the righteousness of God without the law. You understand that? It has something to do with serving this law. Until a man sees that he's justified by an altogether different means than this law. If you're always trying to keep this law, you're a miserable person. You can't love it. You can't love it. The way to keep it is quit trying to keep it. That sounds silly, but that's the way to keep it. The way to serve it is quit trying to serve it. Now that may not make much sense, but let's go on. Look at this. Thirdly is this. I just said, when he sees this law in the heart and in the hand of his mediator, fulfilled, then we'll love this law. We can delight in it. And there is a sense, therefore, in which we serve it. And fourthly, how do we serve the law of God? By living in the Spirit. By being led by the Spirit. Look what he says in Romans chapter 8. Look in verse 13. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, if ye through the Spirit, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look here in another place. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Over to your right in Galatians chapter 5. It seems we serve the law not when we try to serve it, not when we look to it for guidance, but when we live in the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit. Look what he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you can't do what you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Look down verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 25, if ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's something about this, and I don't quite understand it, and I may be just confusing you by going into it. But there's something about this law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of Christ that's within us, teaching us of Christ, filling us with the love of God. There's something about that that is connected to serving the very spirit of the law. Remember, you and I have been studying the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And there's a vast difference in them, aren't there? And there's some way walking in the Spirit and being led of the Spirit fulfills the spirit of the law. You know what Paul said in Romans 13? He said, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love a man, you'll not steal from him. You'll not kill him. You'll not commit adultery. All the law is fulfilled in this one little word, love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. But where are you and I going to get this kind of love? Where am I going to get a love that will love my neighbor as myself? Where am I going to get a love that will love my enemies and pray for those who curse me and despitefully use? Where am I going to find a love like that? I can't go to the law and get it, can I? It tells me to do it, but it gives me no grace to do it. You know where we get it? It comes right back to this Spirit again, the Spirit of Christ. God has shed abroad His love in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's some way or another, brothers and sisters, that that's connected to serving the law of God. When you don't try to serve, you just walk in the Spirit. That's when you serve. You don't brag about doing it. That's when you'll become a hypocrite and a liar. When you walk in the Spirit, then, in some sense or another, we're serving the law of God. God bless this study to our hearts. Glenn, if you would, brother, come and hand out our communion.